Thank you to Brother Alan for that welcome. And it is nice to be here today and to see some familiar faces in the congregation. And also to see our brother Pastor Dennis Lyle and dear wife Catherine. So we're thankful to see all, as I say, smiling faces. And it's good to be here. And we want to meet, obviously, indeed, in a special way and be challenged by God himself. I want to turn, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews there in chapter 13. Thinking today about what never changes. What never changes. There's a lot of things do change around us, but that will be the challenge today. What never changes. And so we want to read here from verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we, I trust, we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And we know the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. See, we're thinking today about what never changes. What never changes. And here we see in the Bible, and we have read, the Saviour never changes. The Saviour never changes. We see that there in verse 5 and in verse 8 there. How we have read it earlier there, and how the Saviour, it never changes. That's a challenge, I believe, in today's world for all of us. We do believe that, but you will meet folk, obviously, that object. But it's good to be to know what the Word of God teaches here. And how here we have the Saviour. How it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So other people can forsake you, but he'll never forsake you. And then you see it again there in verse 8. Very familiar verses. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Saviour never changes. Isn't that lovely? We have a Saviour that doesn't change. And how we live in a world of change, there's no doubt about that. It's very hard. And obviously, the older we get, it's harder to keep up with the modern technology and everything. And you can easily be left behind. Things are moving that fast. But you know, you think of the Saviour. He never changes. And so I want us to grasp that this morning. And how, if you were to turn with me to Genesis, and Genesis 28 and verse 15 and 16, we see here where, remember Jacob when he was running away, and how his brother Esau, he had stole the birthright. And here's Jacob, and obviously he's feeling maybe sorry for himself, he's feeling lonely, and yet at that very point he meets with the God who never changes. And sometimes we do have to be in those positions before we really fully lean upon God. And so we read there in Genesis 28 and verse 15, we read, and behold, I am with thee. That was some comfort to a man who was lonely, who was running away from his brother, and he didn't really know exactly how it was going to work out for him. And here's what God said to him. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So you could see there, God, who wasn't going to leave him, wasn't going to forsake him. And that's the same God that we have today. He's with you and he's with me. And then if you were to turn then to Joshua, and after the death of Moses, you'll see there in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 5. We read what reassurance this was to Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and then we read verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So here we have a God who never changes. And how we read there in Hebrews regarding the Saviour, how it is so clearly, Jesus Christ, in verse 8 of chapter 13 of Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So as we think of this today, and we think there from verse Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, how that regarding our conduct, it's good that we're not greedy or covetous, and we're happy that other people maybe get on well, and we are thankful for our lot in life. And we just keep trusting the Lord. And so, yes, our conduct here. No, let your conduct, conversation be without covetousness. And so that's a challenge there for us in the light of a God who never changes. And how we're going to a lovely heaven. And how we'll be with the Saviour who never changes. And so, are you content this morning? Are you content? And that's a wonderful thing. Content with your Savior. He knows all about you. He knows what you're going through. And how it says here, and be content with such things as you have. Lovely to be content. Just to meet someone that, you know, they're happy in a sense. And they've got their food and their clothing, as we'll see tonight. And, you know, they're content. And it's lovely, obviously, when we have the Saviour. What more do we need? And so we're so glad today. Yes, the challenge in verse 5 regarding our conduct, our conversation, our way of life, and our contentment there, and then our confidence. It's great to have confidence. And we can see it here in verse 5. And there it tells us, and be content with such things as ye have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, we have real confidence here, that the Lord is my helper. Should other helpers disappear, the Lord, you can say, is my helper. And how that's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful truth. And then I will never, it says there, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So it's great to have the Lord with us. And he'll never change, there's no doubt about it. The same yesterday, today and forever. And so the encouragement would be to each one of us, the Lord is able to help you. And how it says, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we live in a world, obviously, plenty of fear, plenty of heartache, plenty of trouble. And I believe here is a challenge for all of us today regarding our conversation, our way of life, our conduct, our contentment, and then our confidence in the one that loves us. And he's able to help you in every issue of life. And also in this portion, you'll see in verse 7 regarding leadership, you'll see there how the pastors and elders rule. And it says, remember them which have the rule over you. And it's good to remember because obviously every leader is going to answer to God himself and obviously need your support as well. And so, yes, the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God, who's willing to teach you the truth of the Bible. And then to have an example as well. That's what we read there in verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, who have been teaching you, whose faith follow. As they follow Christ, obviously, you can follow them. And so I believe that is a challenge today. Yes, you know, it's lovely to have a Savior in all these circumstances who never changes. He's the same. That's what we read there. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. Well, I'm sure you have met the so-called JWs and how they don't believe in the Trinity. Which we do here today. We believe in God the Father in John 6 and 27. We believe in God the Son, Hebrews 1 and verse 8. And we believe in God the Holy Spirit, Acts 5, 3 to 4. We believe that. But you know, what the JWs say, the Trinity is a deception of the devil. And the truth is, we believe in one God, yes, but three persons in one God. And so right there in Genesis, how God said in Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man in our image. So there at the very beginning of our Bible, we see God's description and in the plural sense. And so we see there our Creator. It was there. And our Savior, the one who never changes, he was there. Yes, even there, remember Ananias, he could even lie to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's a person, not just an influence. And the Holy Spirit dwells in every Christian. And so that's great assurance that God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are a child of God. And so today, yes, the Saviour never changes, which is marvellous. And around Christmas, we often quote these, but it's appropriate at any time of the year. In Matthew 1 and 23, call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That was a description of the Saviour. And you're probably very familiar with Philippians 2 and verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I remember sharing that with a practicing JW who was on the Doors in Belfast. And when I read that portion in Philippians to him at his own door, he asked me to read it again. And then he actually took my Bible off me to look at it. And he said, I never saw that before. And so it is good to be able to share God's word with those who don't believe in the true God. And so the Saviour, he never changes. The same yesterday, today and forever. Now we see from Hebrews 13 and verse 9, we see there the sacrifice never changes. The sacrifice never changes. And it does challenge us here. We need to have our heart established with grace. And that's why it's good when you're here today and here, obviously, at all the different meetings of the fellowship, that you can get taught the Word of God and you can read it and have fellowship with each other and build each other up in the faith. The heart be established with grace. And so it is good that that would happen. And then you see from verse 10 to 13, we see here regarding the atonement. The bodies, the animals were taken outside there and how they were eaten, or not eaten, but they were burnt without the camp. So they were taken out and they were burnt outside there, the camp. And Leviticus would tell you that in Leviticus 4 and 21 and 16 and 27. Yes, our Saviour, when you think about it, when he gave his life, it was there outside Jerusalem in John 19, verse 17. So isn't it great to leave our old religion behind and maybe old teachings that you have got that weren't according to the Bible? And the Jews had to do it. They had to leave their Old Testament that was pointing forward to the Saviour coming. And how each one of us, when we come to Christ, we have to indeed follow him and obey his word. Yes, and there is a challenge regarding the sacrifice. It never changes because it was only once. The other animals, it was a constant thing in the Old Testament. And yet, when you think about it, Christ died for our sins. And that was finished there on the cross. And it's marvellous to think that we have a shepherd and he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And so we should be willing. We should be willing ourselves. To leave anything, to come out, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We should be prepared to leave anything that's not biblical and want to obey the Lord. You see, we know this sacrifice. It'll never, ever change. It's not repeated. It's not repeated there every Sunday. We remember the Lord in his own appointed way. And that's good to do that. on the first day of the week. When you think about it, when Jesus came down from heaven, he came down to give his life a ransom for you and for me. And he shed his own precious blood. And how we're so thankful indeed. It was his own blood which we are thankful that he shed for each one of us on the cross. Yes, the sacrifice never changes. And that is a marvel. And you see in Hebrews 9 and verse 11, Hebrews 9 and verse 11, we read there, Hebrews 9 and verse 11, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Yes, the Savior never changes. The sacrifice never changes. It happened 2,000 years ago. And how all our sins there were laid on Christ there on Calvary 3. And he paid for all our sins and shed that precious blood. And so we have the sacrifice never changes. And now in verse 15, the singing of Hebrews 13, the singing never changes. We can praise the Lord here. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And so it is good to praise the Lord this morning. And how in 1 Peter there, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, we read here, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, and unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light." Well, the Lord deserves the praise. The one who never changes. The sacrifice is complete. And we can praise him, obviously, from our hearts and let it out through our lips. I'm sure you are aware, maybe those that are fans of football, fans or whatever, when you watch sometimes someone that is excited about a match or whatever, they really do express themselves. And when you think about it, we are such a privileged people. God has blessed us. And our eyes have been opened. We have left the darkness and we're now in the light. And we're going to heaven. And we can praise the Lord, even with our singing. Now, you're familiar with Romans 12 and verse 1. "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So, there's a challenge. Also, in Psalm 40 and verse 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So it's good to have, indeed, it's good to praise the Lord. And how I believe the devil doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to moan and groan. The children of Israel did it for 40 years in the wilderness. And we don't want to do that with our lives. We want to praise the Lord for what he has done for us. And then if you were to turn with me to Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15. We read here. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So it is good to praise the Lord. Yes, the Saviour never changes. The sacrifice never changes. And the singing, it never changes. It's something that Christians always do, is to praise the Lord. And then as we finally look here at the serving, never changes. And so there's a challenge, and we see it in verse 16. We see regarding the service, your service and mine, it never changes. There's no such thing as retirement, really, in God's work. And how we see here in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. And then you'll see in verse 21, he's able to make you perfect or complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So it's good to serve the Lord and to please him. And how can you serve the Lord? And how we want to see it there in verse 1 of Hebrews 13. We can do it by love. And how time slips by this morning. But you can see it there in John 15 and verse 9. John 15 and verse 9. You can see there. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy it might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So we can serve one another. And how it's good that we can look after each other and love one another. Yes, we say we love God, but it's good also to show that to each other. And you can see it there in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. So it's not something we do once now and again, but it's something that continues. And then you'll see in verse 2, we serve even strangers there in verse 2. Do not be forgetful to entertain strangers. So it's good then to be hospitable and be willing to help others as well. And see in verse 3 regarding prisoners there. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So to have a soft heart and a loving heart to reach out and feel for other people as well. You're serving. You're serving. And that doesn't stop at any point in our Christian life. It keeps going on. And then in verse 4, regarding then our marriage as well, in verse 4, marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So it is good to serve God. And you can serve God in a lot of ways. And how it's wonderful in marriage itself. Recent statistics came out there, both a British one and USA, and how they say, although they don't like to publicise it, but as far as the statistics went, 19% cohabited, and but they reckon that the proportion then of cohabiting people who have breakdowns in family life is then overall it's 50% of the total. So what is it saying? That marriage is the best. It's the best. It's God's way. It's God's way. And we can serve. We can serve God. You can serve God when you reach out to love people. And you can serve God even with strangers. And even people that are going through adversity or even prison. And you can obviously serve God in your home as well here as in the fellowship. And so, yes, it's wonderful to be able to serve one another. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I know the challenge this morning is in Galatians 6 and 10, as we have therefore opportunity. And you'll have an opportunity now today and during this week. You will. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so that would be the challenge I would leave with you this morning. Things that don't change. What never changes? Well, we can say the Saviour never changes. The sacrifice never changes. The singing, it never changes. We always want to sing the Old Testament. Obviously, they sang the Psalms and how they're wonderful still to have them as well, to read over them. And obviously, you can sing some of them as well. And then to serve, indeed. The serving never changes. And I trust as you reach out this week that indeed you'll have the joy indeed of the blessing of God upon your life. And I'm thankful to be able to share this with you today. And we have a hymn now, and it's number 67. And before we sing this hymn, I will close in prayer and then it could go to the door. So let's just bow in prayer first, please. Loving Father, we're thankful today to be able to share your word.